Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Hebrews 2, 4 to 11. Hebrews chapter 2, the verses 4 to 11. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor, and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. My theme for reflection is the God who is not ashamed of you. My theme for reflection is the God who is not ashamed of you. I once heard someone say, half jokingly, that the true test of love is whether someone still wants to be with you after you have embarrassed yourself in public. Most of us know that feeling. The awkward silence after saying something foolish, the flush of shame when we have failed, or the worry that someone we respect might see the worst in us. Shame is universal. It is the shadow that falls when our dignity meets our flaws. But the real question is this: what happens when the one who sees everything, God himself, looks at us? Hebrews 2, 4 to 11 is such staggering news. The writer declares that the creator of the universe, the one for whom and through whom everything exists, is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ, the radiant Son of God, who needed nothing and owed us nothing, chose to become one of us, a little lower than the angels, so that by God's grace, he might taste death for everyone. He did not come to pity us from a distance. He entered the mess of our humanity and bore the shame we could not escape. The early believers who first heard these words were weary, persecuted, and tempted to give up. The Roman Empire was not kind to Christians. To follow Jesus meant ridicule, exclusion, and for many, death. Some wondered if faith was worth it, if the Son of God could really be with them in their weakness. The writer of Hebrews answers with a resounding yes. Jesus' suffering was not a detour from his divinity. It was the path that revealed his heart. The very road of shame, Gethsemane, the mocking, the cross, became the road to glory. Rowan Williams once wrote, "The cross is not a sign of failure, but the deepest statement of who God is, love that refuses to let go, even when rejected." That love redefines our worth. We often see shame as disqualification, but in Christ it becomes the place of transformation. Our failures do not make God turn away. They become the very places where he meets us. Jesus sanctifies us, sets us apart, and in doing so draws us into his own family. We are no longer the people God wishes he hadn't made. We are the siblings he delights to claim. And that truth, that the Lord of glory is not ashamed to call us his family, changes everything about how we live. Think about it. If the one who knows every secret, every failure, every awkward misstep still claims us as his own, then why do we still bow under the weight of shame? Let me ask someone listening to me this morning, what shame are you carrying today? Is it the stink of rejection from someone whose approval you longed for? A parent, a friend, a partner, because you did not speak, dress, or behave as they expected? Is it the quiet humiliation of feeling out of place at a dinner table, holding your glass awkwardly, your laughter too loud, your story mistimed so that your very being felt like an interruption? Or perhaps your shame runs deeper. Maybe it is the echo of something you did or failed to do. The memory of a word you cannot take back. A gesture that wandered more than you meant. A love you rebuffed out of fear or pride. Maybe you embarrassed someone who truly loved you, walking away without explanation, leaving silence where there should have been understanding. You told yourself you were protecting your peace, but in truth, you were just avoiding the vulnerability that love requires. Now the ghost of that choice lingers, whispering regret into the quiet corners of your heart. Or maybe it is none of these, but the simple aching awareness that you are not who you thought you would be by now. You scroll through the curated lives of others, measuring your worth against their highlight reels, and shame creeps in, not loud, but steady, like a low hum in your soul. Whatever form it takes, social, emotional, moral, or spiritual, shame has a way of shrinking us. It convinces us that we are unworthy of being seen, of being loved, of being redeemed. But the grace of God does not avert its eyes. It meets us precisely there, in the places we have hidden from others and from ourselves, and whispers, "You are still mine." We all know what it's like to be haunted by that choice of shame, the one that whispers, "You are not enough, you don't belong. You would always be defined by what you did or did not do." But here is the scandalous grace of the gospel. When the world labels, mocks, or excludes, Christ calls you mine. When guilt insists that you are beyond redemption, the cross speaks louder, declaring that your shame has already been carried, covered, and crucified. If Jesus, the radiant Lord of heaven, is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters, how can we be ashamed of ourselves or of one another? The cross is not just a symbol of forgiveness, it is a declaration of dignity. It tells us that no failure, no rejection, no social faux pas, no hidden regret can undo the honor he has bestowed on us. So stand tall, not in arrogance, but in grace. The same hands that bore the nails now lift your chin. And when life grows heavy and your past whispers against you, look again to the one who endured the deepest shame of all, so that you might walk in the glory of unashamed children of God. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, what parts of your life do you still hide from God, fearing he might be ashamed of you? Number two, how might your relationships change if you lived with the confidence that Christ calls you his brother or sister without hesitation? Now, our practical exercise for the day. Today, write down one area of your life that still feels marked by shame or failure. pray over it, and in faith write these words beside it: Jesus is not ashamed of me. Then thank him for bearing your shame and turning it into a testimony of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, you who made lower than the angels for a little while, thank you for entering our brokenness and calling us your family. When we feel unworthy, remind us that you are not ashamed of us. Free us from the prisons of guilt and fear, and teach us to live with the dignity of those redeemed by love. May our lives shine with the same compassion you have shown us, so that others too may find joy in being called children of God. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.